Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Hi, this is conductor David Alan Miller. I'm talking with my good friend, Pulitzer Prize and Grawemeyer Award winner, winning composer Aaron J. Kernis. Aaron, how are you?
I'm really good, and it's a beautiful day here in New York City.
Oh, well, I'm so glad you had a few minutes to talk to me. I wanted to talk about a lot of different things. First of all, a little bit about you and your life at present. I know you're living in the city, but you're teaching at Yale. How do you do that?
Well, every Thursday morning, I head up there and teach, you know, a fairly full day and come back late at night so I can take my kids to school the next day. So it's luckily it all takes place in one day.
My gosh, that's and how many students generally do you have there?
I usually have 3, 4, sometimes 5, and this term it's a little easier with 3.
And I know I've encountered a number of your students with the symphony, and we've played their music, and they're really impressive. They're incredible, incredible students.
We have amazing students at Yale, so I feel very lucky to have such wonderful people to follow.
And this is all in the graduate school, right? In the School of Music, as it's called?
That's right. The School of Music is a graduate school, and so I only see graduate students.
And am I right that it's almost like a conservatory, and there's kind of a, I don't know if there's a divide, but it's the undergrad is something very different, and the School of Music is entirely graduate?
It is. That's exactly right. And you can be a music major as an undergraduate, but that is kind of entirely separate program, and we interact with them too, but all of our students are graduate students for the most part.
And as I remember, you were at Yale, because when we first met, when we were young men in our early 20s,
yes,
you were a superstar student there. And I think I
was
played
a student there, yeah. For as a graduate student, it was really very moving to actually be asked to join the faculty.
I bet it was. And I have this understanding that there's some very strange, interesting thing about getting your doctorate that you have to kind of go out into the world first, as you did and now as your students do. Can you explain that a little bit?
Well, there's a special degree there, which is unlike most other degrees. And it may go on for a few more years and may turn into a traditional doctorate, but it's called the Master of Musical Arts, the MMA. And it's a situation where after a couple years of graduate school, a master's degree, students stay another year, and then after that, rather than staying around and writing a huge dissertation, they go out into the world and do their stuff, and then come back a few years later, and if they successfully show through their compositions or their performance and what they've done in the world, if they show that they've really, you know, made a good effort and done good work and passed some exams, then they get this MMA.
So they kind of have to go be a journeyman out in the real world and prove themselves before they can be
right.
Awarded the degree. That's
right. And the point is to not just kind of have to stick around and do all your work at the university, but to get out there and be part of the community of musicians.
Yeah, which I know they all are, and I know you certainly were in your 20s. So the rest of your time, I mean, obviously, given all your family commitments and your kids and all, the rest of your time is really spent sitting in a room writing music? Is that most of it? Or?
That's the idea.
Such a lonely, difficult life. Oh, my goodness.
Uh-huh. Well, given now that you know, I take my kids to school every morning, and then they come back anywhere between 4 and 6, it's not as many hours as it used to be when I would stay up all night and compose 18 hours a day. It's a little more compact.
Well, I'm sure you've just gotten more efficient, right?
Yeah. I haven't learned that yet, but I'm trying.
So, tell me a little bit about this new piece. You know, the Albany Symphony and I are premiering a sort of new piece. You'll have to explain why it's only a sort of new piece to our listeners. So can you tell us a little bit about that piece?
Yeah, absolutely. So the name of the new piece is Three Flavors for Piano and Orchestra. And it is based upon an older piece that was, in fact, a concerto for toy piano and orchestra. And very possibly, if not the first toy piano concerto, one of a handful, tiny, tiny handful.
I was going to say, if not the first, then certainly the best. It was certainly the best concerto for toy piano. But it's literally for toy piano, right? For that little thing that little two-year-olds play.
Piano. Uh-huh. Yes. And one of the problems with the toy piano is it makes a very tiny sound. And I wrote for a very large orchestra. So there was some amplification, and one of the problems, again, with amplifying anything with orchestra instruments that are played acoustically is it kind of sounds like they're part of two different worlds. So I did the piece in the earlier version, and it just seemed like it didn't ever quite find its home, and there was a lot of good stuff in it. And Andy Russo, who's a wonderful young pianist, really kind of a fire-breathing virtuoso, knew the piece, and we talked about the idea. I wanted to turn it into something more tangible and more doable, and we both thought it was a great idea and that he would be the kind of virtuoso just perfect for it. And so a lot of the music is the same, but there also have been expansions and reorchestrations, and the biggest thing that's changed is it's really turned into a huge piano part.
It has, and a very challenging
yeah,
piano part.
Yeah, it's not just in a small range, because a toy piano has a small range. It's really all over the keyboard, and I think it'll really show the spirit of what I originally intended much more with much more excitement and much more successfully in this new version.
It's quite a dazzler and very jazzy, and I think it has a lot of reference maybe to Ravel and to some of your most loved composers and the slow movement.
Yeah, here and there, yeah.
Yeah.
And the reason that I'm very happy not to have called it concerto for a piano orchestra or concertino or something like that, and it took me forever to find a good title for it. It was very difficult to find. And then it really came through thinking about food and how much I love world cuisine, and the fact that the piece, rather than trying to be, you know, very unified, really has these three characters or these three flavors in each movement. And I thought it would be fun to point that out rather than to... For yet another piece called Concerto.
Yeah, it's a lovely and very original piece, and we're really looking forward to hearing it in its new clothing for the first time in its new guise. So you've been in the news recently for not very happy reasons, and I just wanted to touch on that because it, you know, it's something that I know a lot of listeners are very concerned about, as are all of us in the music, in the orchestra industry and in
yes.
the concert music industry, that, you know, last week was a pretty awful week for orchestras, with New York City Opera going bankrupt, and with the Minnesota Orchestra reaching sort of the next terrible level of their crisis.
Right.
On that same Monday, when I believe the government shut down, Osmo Venska, the incredibly much loved and brilliant conductor, music director of the Minnesota Orchestra, announced that he was resigning because of the more than year-long, or the year-plus-long strike that's been going on with the Minnesota Orchestra. And that very same day, you also resigned your position there. You've been affiliated with that orchestra in one guise or another for many years. Can you tell us a little bit about your position there, and then a little bit about, you know, what happened?
Yeah, well, I've been working there for 15 years, in fact, and first for 10 years as their new music advisor. And in the middle of that time, I started with a colleague at the orchestra, started a program called the Minnesota Composer Institute. And in the last 5 years, I've been was renamed as director of the Composer Institute. And it was a program to support young composers and to bring really talented original voices to work directly with an orchestra at that level. And it was about 5 or 6 days each year, and we'd have anywhere from 6 to 9 composers. And it was just a wonderful thing, because it was a great marriage between the resources that I was given to share with young composers, and a lot of people came in from around the country to present information about the music world, the music business, and the orchestra members shared information with the young composers. And it was really a great situation, and the performances that they got were just splendid. And it really changed a lot of young composers' lives, because it really showed them that there was something possible. There was something actually larger than they maybe expected for their own work, and that they could think a little bit more into the future rather than just at the school level or where they were as graduate students or whatever. So I've been doing this for a while. I'm very committed to it. And things have been essentially uncollaborative. There had been essentially no direct negotiation between the orchestra musicians and the orchestra administration for the last, actually more than a year. And 1 year ago, the administration chose to lock all the musicians out. The musicians didn't go on strike. They were just forbid. They were unable to go to the hall, unable to play in the hall, and unable to perform concerts under the banner of the Minnesota Orchestra. And no salary, no benefits for the entire last year. And there have been attempts to offer, you know, for new salary offers for the musicians, and they were just very low and very difficult for the musicians to accept. And essentially, they didn't talk to each other for a year. So all in this, Maestro Vanska said that if some very important concerts, if the orchestra didn't get back together and weren't playing music by, I think the date was September 30th, and if the Carnegie Hall concerts in November that they'd planned were canceled, that he would resign. And that's exactly what happened. There was a last-minute attempt to bring the sides together, which went nowhere, and he resigned. On his resignation, I did not feel that things were looking good for the future of the orchestra, at least in the short term. I chose it as that was the time to leave as well.
It is a very sad unfolding of events, and as with all these kinds of situations, you wish there were a point at which people could communicate better with each other, but, you know, it's so hard to find fault in this. I don't know, maybe it isn't hard to find fault. Everybody's able to find fault, but it's hard to get to some sort of compromise in these kinds of situations. And our heart goes out to you and to the wonderful musicians and to the great members of that community, which is such a music-loving community. Of all the communities, if you had spread out all the communities in America, you know, 5 years ago and said, which one is more likely to go out on strike for multiple years than the others, Minnesota would have been way down the list. So it's very sad
And this is the first time in the States that anything that a music director has resigned in the middle
of a strike.
A contract.
Well, I'm afraid we have to leave it there, but we're excited to have you coming to our region. And
And this will be a really fun concert, really lovely program, and I can't wait.
Yep, it's always a treat to see you as well and to hear your incredible music. So we'll see you soon, and
thank you so much
for talking. Bye, Aaron.
See you soon.
That was the Albany Symphony Orchestra's maestro David Allen Miller speaking with composer Aaron J. Kernis. The ASO will premiere Kernis's piece, Three Flavors for Piano and Orchestra, on October 19th at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall. To learn more, you can visit albanysymphony.com. albanysymphony.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.